Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and this episode is one of our episodes called Cues of the Force. Cues stands for questions. No other cue word whatsoever, just questions so far, and we can't wait to share our A's. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
But I sometimes label these as cues, and that's a baseball stat for quality start. So that could be QS, could be, that's what we could just be talking about Major League Baseball quality starts by pitchers, Joseph.
What does that mean? Does that mean like that their first pitch is good?
It means the first and last start. If you go seven innings or longer and three or less earned runs, and it's just one of those modern age baseball stats. So there you go. Star Wars quality starts here in Boston.
There you go. Just questions about Star Wars and me asking Ken questions about the nature of baseball statistics, which I am kind of fascinated by. Anyway, yeah, I just love that idea of just like taking every little thing and breaking it down to try to quantify quality, you know?
You would love the modern era of baseball stats in the last 5 to 10 years. We could do a whole podcast on it. I love it. It's down to how fast you step.
Is there anything that's like behavioral? Is there like spits per hits? Like how many times this person spits determines how good they are at batting?
They're tracking how fast you can make a ball spin when you throw it as a pitcher. So might as well be how fast you can spit or how much.
Wow, the velocity of that spit was amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, to segue into something a little different, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, whatever it may be that you have made to play MP3s. This week, we're continuing to recommend The Princess and the Scoundrel by Beth Revis. I have completed the book. Ken is actively reading. We're both enjoying, and we're going to be discussing. So if you want to give it a listen before a review, you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/4center. One more time, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free audiobook. I don't have a ton of listening time. Excuse me, I got choked up. But if I did, I might give this one a listen. I'm very, very curious to hear all this Han and Leia banter.
Love it. Yeah, no, it's such a fun book. Can't wait to dive on in there. And the signs of podcasters that have been podcasting together for 7 years. When one falls, the other makes a uh-huh to pick them up. That's how you do it.
I think it probably sounded like I was weeping. I might weep over this book, but I just had a little thing catch in my throat here on a Monday morning as we're recording.
Yeah.
All right, Ken, any other thoughts about audiobooks or choking as we begin our episode?
Or spin rates on baseball pitchers? No. Let's get to some Star Wars.
All right, let's talk spits per hits. Joking. We're going to take four questions, as always, two from Twitter, two from patrons on Patreon. We go first to Twitter, and we go to Daniel Zerlike. Daniel says, hello, FC friends. I love when we, as an audience, get to watch an iconic event from different characters' perspectives. Order 66 through Ahsoka's eyes, or the destruction of the second Death Star from Cobb Vanth's eyes. Now that Andor is coming, do you think we could get the famous Mon Mothma's rebel speech from Star Wars Rebels through the eyes of Cassian? Would that add to the story? I'm personally looking forward to it. And what other iconic events would you like to see in different Star Wars media? Ken, this is great. Let's tackle the direct question first of, do you want to hear Mon Mothma's rebel speech in the Cassian television program? And then we'll get into what other events we'd like to see from multiple perspectives.
Absolutely, Daniel. We kind of keep talking and joking that, I don't know, Tony Gilroy doesn't seem like the type of creator to care about those little details, but we may be wrong about that. And he cares enough about Mothma to really dig into the character, where how she got here and where she's going. And Genevieve O'Reilly seems to be on board for that as well. So, man, I'm on board with this idea. Seeing it through like a hologram, if they shoot Genevieve O'Reilly, give the message and it's a hologram and someone else sees it, it'd be really powerful. The moment in Rebels stands alone, and if we never see it again, it stands alone is great and important and an influential moment in the rebellion. So I'll be good with that. But man, I like the idea here. We're going to get a lot of the storytelling about why Mothma would make this speech. So maybe, yes, we see it from another point of view.
Yeah, no, I think that's really great. And part of me wants to see this speech because it does feel like the end point of, it looks like in this first season from the trailers, we're going to see her trying to operate and make a difference quietly while still being a senator, while still being a part of everything. Right. Mm-hmm. And that speech is the product of her finally walking away from the Senate. Right. And saying the Senate's broken. We're not going to be able to fix it this way. We have to take direct action. So that seems like kind of a logical, like you might want to see that emotionally. Right. Partially for viewers who know Rebels and want to see it from a different perspective, but partially if people don't know that speech, do you want to give them that closure on Mon Mothma's arc? But then I was thinking about the scene, and I think a part of the reason that scene is powerful in Rebels is that we are kind of seeing it through a character's eyes, right? We're kind of seeing it through the Rebels, Ezra, yeah, and the team's eyes, right? And it's this validation that what they're doing matters, right? And they're not alone. And I think that would be really powerful to see through lots of different eyes. You know, at this point in the timeline, Cassian's, you know, involved, right?
Yeah.
So is Cassian seeing this speech broadcast while he's undercover an Imperial, you know? Would some of the characters that we've met and known for a long time in the Cassian television show, by the time we get to this in the timeline, you know, would this be a thing where we could hear that speech and we could flash to all these different people that we know have suffered for this moment, for this possibility. I think that could add this richness to it, because right now we get to see it kind of through Ezra's eyes and the rest of the rebels, of what it means to them to be validated. It would be great to see all these other rebels, or even if we follow Imperials, right? Gnashing their teeth too.
Yeah. Oh, some of the characters. Oh, all set. I love this. You're also setting up really high, perhaps false expectations. Just this montage, and it ends on Luthen Rail going, "That's my Mirthma." That's not her name, but all right, that works. That works.
Did you just say Merman from Masters of the Universe? No, Mirthma. Mirthma.
Mirthma.
Yeah. You got to go in there stealing Mirthma, huh? You're right. I should absolutely say this is not a prediction. This is wild speculation of fun, perhaps irresponsible. But yeah, something like this would be cool. As always, when we're talking about an isolated moment that would be cool, the question is, does it fit in the story that they're telling? Because maybe the story is going to zig and zag. Maybe especially that second season is going to be structured differently. We know maybe it's going to be structured in a way that this doesn't make narrative sense. So fun to speculate on, but who knows if it will happen.
Right. Yeah. Great stuff.
So let's get to the other part of Daniel's great question. What other events would you like to see through more people's eyes?
Daniel, thanks for making me work. I sat on my couch, which faces all of my Star Wars novels from the modern era. And I did this kind of like almost a Wayne and Garth do-do-do-do-do-do kind of just diving into the books and just trying to think. That just makes me think of all the moments, right? And I came up with a list, but I honestly, Joseph, I feel as though I'm missing some options. So I wanted to go to the Death Star 1 exploding from Palpatine's point of view. And I'm sure that's been addressed or talked about. And I'm like, am I just thinking of like a robot chicken sketch? I don't know. So actually, him alone, maybe Mos Amita, maybe someone around him, but him alone and his actual reaction to that. You know what I mean? His actual, not the public face, not the everything's good. It's all right. Still good. Still good. Still good. But just like having him feel like, man, my plans, sometimes they go awry. How to recover from this and what's going on and Vader, da, da, da. I would like that. That's a good starting point for me.
No, I love that one because I'm sure he gets reports that, you know, Kenobi was on the Death Star, but he's gone now, right? Mm-hmm. And Vader would think of that as a victory, the way he says it to Tarkin, right? You know, it's seen the end of Kenobi. This is a great day. But Palpatine has such fear of the Jedi and such fear of Kenobi. And, you know, linking that to, you know, via Snoke, this great fear that if Luke Skywalker even walks down a street, 800 new Jedi are going to be born, right?
Yeah.
He's so afraid of the Jedi spreading their message of hope, you know? So I think he'd be obviously quite upset about the whole Death Star thing.
Yeah.
You know, and immediately shifting plans to like, okay, this rebellion's serious and I have to crush it. But also the Kenobi of it all, like, okay, Kenobi's gone now, but what did he start? What did he start? Who did he inspire? You know?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Just the, you know, cause I think of that, that great moment from Clone Wars where, you know, he spins to the window and he's just kind of that Padme, he's done it again. That kind of just, he's alone. And here's what he really feels.
Oh yeah. I would absolutely love that. A couple of the others that I would be interested to see is different people's reactions to kind of right in the midst of A New Hope, in particular, Palpatine wiping out the Senate and the destruction of Alderaan, right?
Yeah, that's a good one. Oh, see, I knew I missed one. Good stuff. Ooh, that's good.
And that's kind of almost two in one because it's kind of happening, you know, in rapid succession. The wiping out the Senate, I would love to see people who've been kind of going, we're hearing these rumors that the Empire is being, you know, kind of brutal here and there. But what are you going to do? You need order. Or you're like, I heard rumors that this one planet was utterly, you know, devastated, all the resources taken and the planet fell apart, whatever. But come on. I mean, we still have a Senate. We still have a that moment where the excuse we still have a Senate goes away for people. Is that a wake up call for people? Are other people like, well, finally, we haven't needed that, you know, for a long time, cut the red tape, you know, now things are going to be great. Like the different characters' perspective on that. And then the destruction of Alderaan, you know,
Yeah.
We've had lots of stories where we know that that was a moment where people became willing to act, right? Mm-hmm. But it would be great to be immersed in a story like Mandalorian, obviously not the timeline, but that sort of like the same way Cobb Vanth is like, that's not the focus, but we're following the story for a different reason, but this moment changed things.
Yeah.
You know, and having it kind of, you're kind of telling a different story, but then you learn that the destruction of Alderaan changed something for somebody.
Yeah. Cause that's literally, you know, the Cobb Vanth example, it's like literally change comes running through the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
It causes.
Yeah. Problems. Literally.
Yeah. Literally. I love that. Yeah. I love what you're saying too, of, cause I choose to believe in my heart that the Battle of Scarif changes Nawr Jebel's heart. So maybe he's already there, but maybe other senators like him who are packing up their boxes, moving out of their office going, oh no, this is real. Oh no.
There's no
more job, no more Senate. Something's going on. I've reacted too late.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No. And Nawr Jebel sticks around for a while. He's still whining.
Yeah.
Deep into the into the New Republic. So I would take Nawr Jebel reactions to everything. My other one is, and again, some of this stuff has been in books or comics kind of around the edges, but I'd love to see it on the screen. I would love tales of Luke Skywalker. Both how word spread of him after the destruction of the second Death Star, in the sort of the rumor, the myth that, you know, he was on the Death Star and he defeated Vader and Palpatine, you know?
Yeah.
And also, I would love more about the Battle of Crait. Where did Oni Hosiah first hear that story? Oni Hosiah at the end of Last Jedi does a great job telling that story. But I would love to see that word spreading.
Mm, yeah, that's a good one too. Absolutely. Just and how it moves, fast and it's, you know, poignant part of Star Wars there, the importance of that.
Yeah. And like Rey seems to know a lot, right? She's heard a lot of rumors and myths, and I would love to hear more of that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Those tales. How does a girl from nowhere on Jakku, what space pilot's coming in to pick up portions that said something?
Yeah. In the Tales of Luke Skywalker book, I know does deal with that, with people telling kind of tall tales that may or may not be true, but I would love to see some of that on screen, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Any other thoughts on this one?
Yeah, a couple ones here. I got this one was, if talking about expectations that we can create for ourselves, there was a certain section of fandom and certain types of shows that were just dead set and believed that this was going to happen. The Battle of Scarif from inside the ghost. The idea that Star Wars would maybe tie into Battle of Scarif and, you know, the ship's there and it's the same timeline. It all kind of makes some sense there. So we didn't get it. Filoni came out early going, no, that's not what we're doing. But I'd love to, we could still do it. I think it would be just kind of, and it would be important, but also fun. And I think fun's part of this, which is why I also thought of Battle of Endor through Rex's eyes. Cause the idea that he's there, Hera's there as well, but you could approach that. So there's those ones. And then, Nile attacks, including the great disaster, from the Sith's eyes, who the Sith are at the time, because they're maybe laying low, part of that laying low for generations upon generations. And what are they doing? Are they like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, this is good. Or wait a second, someone's stealing our thunder. We're not ready yet. I don't know.
Are they happy or are they jealous? And do you think that there is any possibility when we get to wave 3 of the High Republic that the Sith kind of sidle up to our big bad and have some things to say? Like I think Marchion Roe is acting of his own accord. I don't think he's a puppet for the Sith, because I think it's more powerful that he clearly has his own motivation and his own goals. But do you think there's any possibility that a Sith comes along and is like, nice terror organization you have here?
Yeah. No, I absolutely like that, especially towards the end, especially in, you know, a lot of people might look towards the Acolyte for this. I'm not necessarily looking towards that show to connect in a giant way. I think it's just the end of an era and that show's going to do what it's going to do. But I think you're going to have some big Sith names in there and it just kind of makes sense. The Nile is I think a great storyline. It's a great big why behind them. And yeah, that would kind of make some sense where it all kind of syncs up a new era of evil getting ready to reemerge.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And you made me think of one more of there is so many viewpoints to have on the Battle of Exegol, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell stories from just people you've never met who decided to be like, we jury rigged a blaster to the top of our space taxi. Right. And we're going. But then obviously there are characters we know from Resistance, that great laundry list of characters who sounds like they're showing up in the novelization of Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. That would be great to get all those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. A bonus short film of Star Wars Resistance ended up there. Be great.
Ooh, absolutely great. All right. Great question, Daniel. We have a lot of desires for a lot of perspectives in Star Wars. We are going to move on to a question from Ross Squatch. Ross says, as a deep dive podcast, how did you feel about Obi-Wan episodes only being labeled part and then a number? I listened to you guys spend 20 minutes analyzing Mandalorian titles. So I was wondering if you missed being able to create more content. Joke. Do you think episode titles were a victim of budget? No, I don't think. I don't think the newest Bob brought the hammer down on. Nope, titles are too expensive. But a very funny joke. It was a really fascinating difference. And we have spent, I'm sure, at least 20 minutes on some episodes of the Mandalorian Report of discussing the titles, because I think they're like a lot of things in the Mandalorian. The titles are very minimal and sometimes they're just very direct and clearly exactly what they mean. But then sometimes they have lots of layers. I love that chapter 3 is the sin, and it invites you to say which sin or how many sins, you know? So how do you feel about what Ross is asking? How did you feel that Obi-Wan did not give us the opportunity to have long discussions about the multi-layered meanings of the title? Because it was just part one.
Well, I hate to counteract you. I have sources, Joseph. Inside sources. And they said there was a budget cut in the fonts department at Disney. They didn't have enough fonts and therefore enough letters to use the title. So it was definitely a budget cut. No, I love it. This is great, Rob. I did miss it. I actually did miss it. I actually love the choice. I think it's a clearly a stylistic choice and one to kind of maybe tie the story into and drive home the connection to the first six saga films, right? It's kind of this neat little framing device, just the way that each episode's structured. And so it just kind of makes sense. And they didn't want to necessarily, I don't want to say distract from that. It wouldn't have distracted, but yeah, they made a choice. And I love the choice. And to me, it was one cohesive journey through that story, through that first season. That said, I just sometimes need a good title or maybe a moral looking at Clone Wars to help me focus on the theme sometimes, especially when we're reviewing it. It's just kind of fun to be like, oh, here's maybe some of the things at play, right? And you can read a lot into the titles. You can also get confused. There was I had not read all the Game of Thrones books. And when season four, there's a title, The Bear and the Maiden Fair. And I was just certain that one character was going to die. It's like that title means this. And a friend just was like, maybe you should watch the episode. Maybe you should just wait. And so I've learned to not dig in until the story, but it just helps set the table. So I do enjoy them. So therefore I did miss them.
Yeah. Did you think there was going to be a fight between a bear and the maiden fair? A punch out?
Yeah. I thought Jorah Mormont was going to die then. And because he was so my guy, I was really upset. My friend was like, who had read the books. And then later on, of course I read all the books, but I was just like, yeah, no, just time out. Just watch. Don't you're going down a path you don't need to go just based off a title.
Yeah. Yeah. I love your font joke. It made me think of that old Sesame Street skit where that's the buddy. Do you want to buy a letter?
Yeah.
So maybe they could not afford the letters to spell out the title. Sesame Street Muppet Scoundrel. No, I really enjoyed it. I think the fact that they were just titled part. I think that there is this kind of ongoing tension in a lot of streaming television shows, whether they're trying to be like, this is a season of television. Sure, there's an overall story, but it's a season of television and each episode is entirely its own idea. Or is it more like this is a special event? It's like a movie broken up into parts, or it is like a novel with chapters. And some novels have titles for chapters and others don't, right?
Yeah.
And I think there is this kind of ongoing tension. And I feel like while The Mandalorian is clearly telling a big picture story throughout the whole show, in each season is kind of dealing with a general big picture quest for Din Djarin, the episodes are a little bit more traditional television, right? Where they're, this is an adventure Din has this week, right?
Yes.
And I feel like Obi-Wan Kenobi, obviously it does, it did start as a film. Yeah. But even if it didn't, even if it was written fresh to be like this, it is so written to be one story that I feel like by not giving each individual episode a title, they sort of leaned into this is a special limited series event, not a season of television where, you know, what adventure does Obi-Wan have this week? I'm really fascinated by it. You can look at it that way. And they did really divide it up. So every part of the Obi-Wan Kenobi season is a different planet, a different location, and a and it is a discrete adventure that Obi-Wan has, but it's all very much in service of this one big adventure. So I feel like the choice to just call it part one through six is the creators kind of telling us this is the structure, this is what you should expect. It's you're getting on the roller coaster and it's one ride. You know, we're not stopping and resetting. We're going and going and going. And I feel like using part instead of an actual title tells us that.
Yeah. Title, chapters. Oh, yeah. Love that. Love that take. And then it makes me think of, well, great. What are they going to do now that they might explore second season? You got to stick with it, I guess. You got to stick with
it. Yeah. Or I mean, if it's different. Yeah. Maybe not. I would take. In all Star Wars things, I like chapter titles. So, you know, it didn't bother me at all. I thought it was great to make it feel different than The Mandalorian, because it was different, right? Yes. Tonally and it was different structurally. So I liked that it was parts, but I love chapter titles. I want the pulpy side of Star Wars to stay alive. And, you know, for the most part, The Mandalorian titles are pretty, you know, simple and minimal and direct, but like, can you imagine if like Obi-Wan had like really, you know, pulpy titles of like, it was like, you know, in part three where Vader drags him, you know, through the fire, you know, if it was called part three, Yesterday's Flames, you know,
I want chapter four to be Underwater Blues. Yeah.
Underwater Blues, part five, and a Sith Must Conquer, part six, Attack of Mercy. That one's not. Yeah. Not a real suggestion, but
no, I love that. No, I love what you're saying there. Yeah. And I get it. Yeah, again, stylistic choice for sure. But yeah, on one level, yeah, I had a little bit of that, especially the first episode, because you're right to say, hey, it sets it apart, really sets it apart from Book of Boba Fett and Mandalorian. That's doing what it's going to do. We're going to do. But I went, oh, okay. All right. Part one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think really at the end of the day, I want Star Wars creative projects and creative projects in general to be what they want to be. And I want to judge them are like, I feel like this is what this creative project is trying to do. Now, do I feel like it succeeds in what it's trying to do? And you know, Book of Boba Fett and Mandalorian, I feel like the titles help it succeed in what it's trying to do. And for Obi-Wan, I think just calling them parts helps it succeed in the different thing it's trying to do.
Hey, let art do what it wants to do. Sounds good to me.
Excellent. And with that, we are going to take a quick break and we'll be back with two questions from patrons on Patreon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
And we are back to take two more cues. These are some cues, at least this first one can. It put me through some paces. We are going to our old friend Mark Knoop. Mark says, I'm loving how much prequels-related content we've seen lately. Seeing Ewan and Hayden back in Star Wars was such a delight. But what if George Lucas had waited until today to make the prequels? Who would you cast in the main roles? Ken, I'm going to have us answer this question, but first I have a question for you. Was this difficult for you?
This was difficult. And I think sometimes some stuff like this pops up when you're on Star Wars shows, right? Of, hey, recast and everything. I'm always bad at these. Back in the old movie fights days, this would come up a lot. And they're fun questions, but I just feel as though, or even not in like a debate kind of, but even like on the old movie talk days where someone would be like, hey, what other director would you want? I'm like, I know like 3 directors right now. Like, I just don't pay attention to that stuff. So it's difficult for me in a lot of ways. But also, there's some good choices out there. You can have a lot of fun. And I feel my answers are both, I don't know, pedestrian and simple, but also I threw in some wrinkles and I had to dig deep for him. So, yes.
Yeah. No, this is very challenging for me. Not because there aren't a ton of great options.
Right.
But because time moves so fast from my perspective. I was talking to my manager about a project that we're working on where we're trying to attach some talent, as they say in the business. And I was like, hey, what if we asked this person, you know, because we've been asking older people, what if we asked this person? My manager was like, that person's 55 years old. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. OK. Fair enough. You know, but he plays younger.
He plays. I make this joke a lot, but it's not a joke. It explains a lot. I still think Garbage and No Doubt are new bands. Like Foo Fighters is a new band to me. Like, I mean, yep. It's just the way it works.
And that's part of it to me. It was just like I kind of, you know, your perspective changes as you get older. And like, I'm still watching and really enjoying Riverdale. It's a bonkers show that owns that it's bonkers. But you know, it's good. I can't remember even what season it's on, 6 or 7, 8. I don't even remember, but I always think of like, oh yeah, casting younger people like from Riverdale, they're all 30 now.
Yeah.
Which isn't old, but it's not the age we're looking for some of this casting, you know?
No, absolutely not.
All right. So, Ken, do you want to take me through your roster? Who all did you cast? What all roles? Because I didn't go too deep. I kept myself limited to kind of big players.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I did not recast Rick Ollier. Sorry. It might just be Ralph Brown still for me. So, yeah, I just Anakin, Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, Mace, Palpatine, Padme, Bail, Dooku, and Maul. That's my list. All right. So I'll set the table.
Yeah. Okay. So, you went deeper than I did.
Yeah. Anakin, this is a cheat, possibly. I still say unknown youngster, both ages. I don't think, especially the question is if George had waited until today. So George is still involved. And I think George would still be like, we've got to find an unknown. That he did when he at the right times in his career, right? Yes, some established people coming on in here, but I want an unknown. So I still think it's an unknown youngster. Two unknown youngsters if you're going to do the time jump. So I'll stick with that one.
That's very good. That's very good. Okay. All right.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, are you ready for this?
I am so excited.
All right. The age, you have to fudge the age a little bit both directions, perhaps. I'm going with Harry Styles. All right.
Oh, wow. This is controversial.
it gets more controversial. Mike Qui-Gon, I went with Brad Pitt.
Ooh, wow. That is pretty amazing.
Brad Pitt, I love me some Pitt. Put a Qui-Gon wig on him. Put those yellow neon glasses on. You got yourself a Qui-Gon. Mace Windu, I went with Ahmed Best. Right? Because I didn't include a Jar Jar in here, by the way, as clearly said. But yeah, that's a different thing. Who knows if George would even do that now? I think he still would, but love Ahmed Best. And I would just, let's give him that role. Let's give him that. Now, by the way, Samuel Jackson's probably like, no, I'm still good. Palpatine, here's where I'm wondering if you did the same thing. I'm Ian McDiarmid. why would you not?
Yeah, true. He can still do the role.
Yeah. Padme, this is a fan casting for Leia that at the time understood, made a lot of sense. Vivian Lara Blair did such a great job with the younger Leia in Kenobi. But I'm going to go, my Padme, this is where you cast Millie Bobby Brown. Where you go with that. So you can grow with that character too. Then Bail Organa, I went Pedro Pascal.
Ooh.
Get some more meaty Bail in there. Count Dooku, I went with Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Just you don't even need to throw a wig on, throw a beard maybe on and a robe, and you're good. And then my final one, Maul, Darth Maul. I went with Maisie Williams, Arya Stark herself.
Nice.
I'm trying to think who's a younger on the younger side of an actor who also has got some fight training. You know, I know Ray Park came from a different background, but Maisie. I just love what she did with that character and put some horns on her, paint her face red, give her a double set of lightsaber. I'm sold. So that's my list.
Oh, no. And I think the crucial thing with Maul casting is, can they make you fear for your life with just their eyes? And I think Maisie Williams is a fabulous actor who can absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Which would be great. That's a really, really great and intriguing list. I was tempted to go with the unknown thing because a part of me would be like, yeah, everybody should be unknown except for maybe one person. Yeah. But I wanted to try to play the game and do a little bit better. So let's see. I did Obi-Wan, Anakin, Padme, Qui-Gon, and Palpatine. I didn't get into the Sith, but your Maul casting is perfect. So for Obi-Wan, This was difficult. You know, I loved Obi-Wan, but I was looking at somebody who's the right age, who is actually from the UK.
right.
And somebody who, great acting chops, but charm, right? Needs charm. And I went with Tom Holland.
That's great. No, that's great.
Right? I mean, he's got the dancer training, so he can absolutely do all the great lightsaber fighting. He is a great actor. And let the man use his accent.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Love that. That's great. Yeah.
And then for Anakin, so I went kind of age-wise, I went casting for Phantom Menace. I'm starting out, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
For Anakin, I went with Julian Hilliard. Do you know this young actor, Ken?
I don't know this actor.
So he's just about the right age. I believe he's 11 years old right now. So I first saw him in the Netflix show, The Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
and he plays this poor young haunted kid, and he just has this great delivery that has made it into my day-to-day life. There's kind of a sad scene where he's wanting one of his older brothers to spend time with him, and he says, "We could draw together." It's this really specific, sad delivery. So I say that to Sarah all the time. It's like, "Do you want to watch TV together?" But then he's popped up. A lot of people will know him. He plays one of Wanda and Vision's twin children in WandaVision and the Doctor Strange movie. He's been in a bunch of other things. He's been in a Conjuring movie. He's been in a weird Nicolas Cage loses his mind and screams movie called Color Out of Space.
Yes, gotcha.
He has this great innocence to him, but clearly a great actor who could bring that layer of and there's, you know, a righteous anger at his poor lot in life that Anakin has at that young age. So
this is great. You're selling me. I don't even know. I probably even saw some because Haunted Hill House, Grace watched that. So I'd come in out of the room for it. And yeah, I probably did see it, but that's great. You sold. You got Go Picture for me.
All right. Go Picture. All right. Padme. This is also using some Star Wars casting that's already happened. I believe the actor is exactly 14 right now, the age that Padme is in Phantom Menace. I'm going with Kaylee Fleming. Known to Star Wars fans as Young Rey.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So here's why I went with her. She's been in a bunch of things, but she's also in Walking Dead. She plays Rick Grimes' daughter, and kind of her character on The Walking Dead is, you know, she's been born into the zombie apocalypse. And she, like, you know, as a child inherited like a sword and a gun.
Right.
And she's like, no nonsense. Like really, really has this sensitive, kind, caring side. But also is like, and then when the sword needs to come out, the sword comes out, period.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. So she has the steel of Padme and, you know, a good Skywalker look.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your Palpatine selection of Ian McDiarmid is the correct one, but I'm just always trying to stick this person into Star Wars. So I put Peter Capaldi in.
Oh, no, that's great. That's great. I'm not familiar with Doctor Who as much as you are, of course. I have 1% understanding. You have 110% understanding. from what I know, he'd be great in just the straight up political scenes.
Yeah, he has great gravitas. He is in a political drama called The Thick of It, where he does a lot of swearing. So it's fun to imagine Palpatine swearing behind the scenes. You could call for a vote of no confidence and then closes the door. And the final casting I did was for Qui-Gon. And this is also people want him in Star Wars. This seems like the place to do it. I was looking for somebody who clearly has strength, absolutely can fight, a little bit older, but also has that like deep well of wisdom and calm. So I cast Idris Elba as Qui-Gon Jinn.
That's a great choice. I just love him as a performer. And that popped in my head too.
Oh, really?
Great. Yeah. I wanted to have a little bit of fun with Pitt, but no, that works for me as well. We have both put two great movie posters out into the fan art here. So, whoever gets to it first, we'll retweet all of them.
Yeah. I want to see all of the various Qui-Gons from the different alternate Star Wars dimensions, which I don't need that storytelling, but yeah. That would be amazing. Brad Pitt is fascinating.
Look, he is who he is, but I also think he's just a wonderful character actor as well as a big time movie star, as are all these performers. It'd just be something interesting.
I picture him with the wig.
Yeah, the wig, wizard warrior, but like his Ocean's 11 character, just always eating a snack.
That would be amazing if Lucas made a special edition. He's like, you know what? I want to change about Phantom Menace. Qui-Gon should always be eaten.
Just always eaten.
Just CGI'd in, his hand coming to his mouth. Lots of chewing. Very, very fun. Great question. As always, thank you very much, Mark. Any final thoughts before we move on to our final question, Ken?
No, I think that was the best round of choose other actors I've ever had in my life. So I'm gonna take on that question with a little more confidence going forward.
Yeah, you knocked it out of the park. Maisie Williams, man, amazing. All right, we're going on to our final question. Philip Beattie says, hi, Force Center team. The first time I saw Anakin and Padme's wedding at the end of Attack of the Clones, I wrongly assumed that, since this wasn't allowed, Anakin had made the choice to leave the Jedi. My silly logic was, it was hardly a secret. The droids were there.
Yeah.
Since you're a clever bunch, I doubt it's the case, but have there been any times where you guys picked up on something completely wrong in Star Wars? Thanks, and happy 4th of July weekend. Philip, happy last weekend in August coming up here. Or actually, we just went past the last weekend in August. First weekend in September. Happy Labor Day weekend, Philip. Yeah. Again, want to keep that stuff in there just to demonstrate to everybody, our patrons on Patreon who've added questions. This particular round of question collection, we've had so many great questions and we're going through them all. So thank you for your patience, because there's just a ton of great ones.
You know what it is, Joseph? It's actually a Star Wars nostalgia feel. It when you saved up your proofs of purchases and mailed away for your Anakin or your Sebastian Shaw Anakin or your Emperor. This is what, 6 to 8 weeks. This is what it is.
Yep. This is unlike what I got, which was the letter from Hasbro going, "We're out. Too bad. Thanks." This is the way life works in the rough and tumble 80s, kid. Suck it up.
That's the 1980s experience. Greed is good. My figure's gone. Too many people bought it.
Yep. We can't make more. We can't offer you an alternative. Just suck it up, kids. I got to find that note and see if I still have it and see if it just says, suck it up, kids. Kenner.
Oh, that's a big one. That's a collector's item. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Oh, I think I did see it on display, like at Rancho Obi-Wan, not physically, but in a picture. Anyway, you were reacting to the first part of to Philip's sharing about Anakin's wedding. Did you think that Anakin had left the Jedi Order at any point? Was that your logic?
No, but I really relate to that one there. That just makes a lot of sense. Everything about it. Well, he's done. He's broken the rules. There's witnesses, dummy, and you're done. It makes a lot of sense to me. I'm with you, Philip.
Yeah, a chatty witness in C-3PO, yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And remember, this is also there. You know, the mind wipe is coming with 3PO, but you know, early days of Star Wars online discourse. And just in-person discourse, a lot of people upset of like, now 3PO knows everything. And it was a thing. So this makes a lot of sense.
It was a thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. And I think it didn't cross my mind because I felt like, you know, Anakin's, you know, fall was yet to come. And it's almost coded to me as maybe it would have been better if he had just said, this path isn't for me. This other one is.
Totally.
But totally, totally relatable. And yeah, in 3PO being there, really did throw me for a loop. R2, great. 3PO. Yeah. Chatty protocol droid. So, let's get into, the actual question here from Philip about times where we interpreted something, incorrectly. Do you have some thoughts on that?
Sometimes I want to point out too, especially on what we do. Sometimes there's just different thematic interpretations in your mind, and you can miss the point. And even going back to 05, and for a long time, just missing the point of, you know, Vader saying no and concentrating on James Earl Jones comes back and you have him say, where is Padme? Come on. And I just kind of missed the point. And it's not directly what Philip's asking, but just when you're looking at things a little different, or even now, you and I can have different takes. We can watch the same scene and just where we are in our lives or where things we experienced, and it's the value of perspectives and different perspectives when discussing pop culture. You and I might interpret things slightly different or in the same ballpark, but you can take different things from it there. But that's one of those big swings and a misses for me, of just being so hung up on badass Vader was brokenhearted about his wife. Yeah. Yeah. The point. So I'll start there.
No, that's a great one. That's an absolutely great one. Please feel free to continue. Yeah.
Only a couple more. And it's not, believe me, it's not that I'm so in tune that I don't miss things. I just, I was trying to go back and in the course of just my entire fandom, I always highlight, I mention this every now and then, the swing and a miss in which I completely missed that a Jedi had a kid and Dooku Jedi lost and not figured out until you mentioned it on a podcast is one of my more embarrassing moments, but I keep bringing it up because it just shows that you can just miss things sometimes. Especially if you're listening to a book on a walk, you just over things.
Or sometimes there is a just like a logic thing where you're like, why'd the person do this? And like, oh, they explicitly said it, but you get caught up in the story, right? Especially in the first viewing and you're in an emotional place and not a logic place and you sometimes miss it. That kind of thing can happen all the time.
So I highlight that. And then the final one just for me here as, and this is young as seven, as a child watching Return of the Jedi in the theater. Dead set on the idea that Luke sent the droids to Jabba by mistake because that's what 3PO says. And carrying that out of the theater and to the playground of kind of like, can you believe that Luke guy messed up and sent his friends to Jabba? Like, because 3PO is upset about it. And just a early lesson of not really I'm seven, but also, you know, not everything a character says is facts. That's something we all need to keep in mind discussing Star Wars, especially Kylo Ren lines or Magna lines. But yeah, and for 3PO, it rang true because what's going on here? You know, this whole, he and R2, aren't on, R2 and Luke are more in line than 3PO and Luke. I get it all now, but I just remember like on the playground being like, I don't know about that Luke guy. He sent his friends there by mistake.
I love the idea that like Luke printed out the wrong, UPS label for 3PO and R2 and like, whoops.
So anyways, I don't know exactly. Those are the answers you wanted, Philip, but those were where my mind went on my fandom.
Yeah, there were things when I was like a kid. I don't remember being wrong. I remember my brother vociferously correcting me that Bespin was not an Imperial base. Because I think, I was really young. So I was just like, oh, Vader and Luke are fighting in that Imperial base. He's like, it's not an Imperial base.
Mm-hmm.
It's Lando's place of business.
Yeah, that's great.
And I'm sure there's some other that like at the edge of my mind from like being really young in the original trilogy and, what happened. I think this is it. I've mentioned this before that like we knew that Greedo died. Like we kind of remembered that, but then I had the Greedo action figure. I wanted to play with him. My dad was watching a Western on like a Saturday afternoon and somebody got shot and like got winged in the arm. Mm. And we're like, well, why didn't that person die? He's like, oh, he just got nicked. Sometimes when you get shot, you just get nicked and you're not, dead.
It's an option.
Yeah. So we were like, oh, yeah, well, that's what happened. Greedo just got nicked.
Right.
And then, that was kind of like, didn't have the word headcanon at the time, but that was the headcanon why Greedo was still running around and I could play with my action figure. He could still fight Han again. And then, like, when I got older and saw New Hope again, like, yeah, that's not nicked. When your abdomen is on fire, that's not nicked.
That's so sad. Also, you're making me think here, too. You're so right. You, as a kid, you get an action figure from someone who the character's dead. Then you get it. What are you going to do with that? If you just take it, as it plays, you're like, this figure means I can't even have this figure. I got to throw it away.
It really is. Kids, buy Greedo today and act out his horrific death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So more recent things. I was confused in The Force Awakens. We talked about this recently on our Magic of Lightsaber fights. When Rey, on Starkiller Base in the forest there kind of takes the shot down toward Kylo's hand and weapon. When I look at it closely at home, I see that she just hits the blade with enough force that it knocks the hilt out of his hand.
Mm.
But I remember in the theater going like, did he lose his hand? Did she cut his blade in half? Did he lose a thumb? Like for a long time, I was kind of waiting for like clarity in Last Jedi of like, does he not have a thumb?
That's great.
Mm. So there's that. And then one that I think the most recent one that I'll just say it. In Mandalorian, when our pal Carson Teva gives Cara Dune the badge,
mm-hmm.
I even though it's shaped like a space badge, the scene is played differently to me, so I did not interpret that as a badge. I interpreted it as like a business card. And
yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we talked about it a bunch because we talk about everything in those Mandalorian episodes a bunch.
Yeah.
But I think it was, for me, it was because of the vibe of the scene. It didn't feel like a scene where she was being deputized. It felt like he was saying, hey, there's more going on here on this planet. There's more for you to do if you're willing to step up and do it. Yeah. So the tone of the scene and the way he tossed it down made it feel to me not like I am appointing you to have authority under the New Republic. It was more like, hey, if you want to do the right thing, you know, give me a call on this holo device, you know?
That's a great example. Yeah, I remember kind of feeling that, yeah.
Yeah, but in retrospect, the shape of the thing is obviously a badge, which should have made me see the scene differently.
Yeah. No, absolutely. No, that's a good point. I was trying to go through recent stuff too. I think it's harder because even if I had thought something, you know, you and I do discuss it with Jennifer and everyone, you know, you might work it out by the end of our podcast episode, as opposed to going to the playground and yelling that Luke stranded 3PL. But yeah, it's a great thing. Great example. Yeah.
Did you have any idea where Luke was trying to send 3PO and R2?
You know, definitely not there. Maybe to, you know, Endor. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And then why would, you know, the end result is pretty good. So I'm on board for that. And I get that R2 had the lightsaber. So he really doesn't like 3PO.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is a great question, Philip. And I think it's always good for us all to talk about this because I think, you know, in culture, sometimes we can get, you know, if you ever say, hey, I misinterpreted this or I missed this, you know, people can jump out of the woodwork and be mean about it, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's important for us to say, like, hey, misinterpreting something for a minute is that's part of the process. That's part of learning. That's part of hearing from other fans. That's part of being willing to watch something a second time and look at it in different contexts. And I think it's really good and healthy for us to be able to go, hey, here's where sometime that I missed a thing.
Yeah, it happens all the time. I've learned don't put any thoughts out there about any of Tolkien's work unless you've memorized every word of it. Don't do that.
Don't just be
I kind of like this world. What's that, Hobbit? It's a Harfoot, you idiot. Okay.
It is, very much do not ask questions unless you truly want the answers. I even have that sometimes with Twitter where like I make a joke about technology and people who mean well, like tell me how to fix it. And like, I'm not actually looking for tech support. I want to complain in the form of a joke. That's my goal right now.
Yep.
The final thing I want to say, I forgot I had this kind of Star Wars adventure this week. Lucky to live near a used bookstore. So sometimes when I go for a walk for my health, I just wander in there and look at books. And they had a copy of the 1983 Return of the Jedi storybook that I had as a kid. I think I still have a copy of it in my storage. But yeah, this one, like we ordered it early, kind of like a school scholastic thing. And my brother got it. And I remember him calling me and because he had read like the first half. He's like, Luke Skywalker is a Jedi. So a lot of my understanding, like, I think I read the whole thing. I might have read only half of it before we saw the movie. But the reason I'm bringing all this up is to kind of talk about the opposite of sometimes we have to unearth why we thought things as a kid.
Yeah.
And we've had these similar things where people have said, I never understood that Luke was choking the Gamorrean guards at the beginning, or even having people go like, do you think that that's what he's really doing? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm flipping through this and the text of this book just says, you know, the guards, I'm paraphrasing, the guards try to stop Jabba from coming in the palace, but they're no match to, you know, Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker. He raises his hands and he chokes the Gamorrean guards. It wasn't an interpretation that I had of the film. It straight up said it in the book.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fascinating. Like, I don't have encyclopedic memory of every trading card I memorized, you know, as a kid. Or was that on a trading card? Was it on the back of an action figure? Did just some kid named Devin tell me that once? And then I repeated it for my entire life. It's really fun to do this in the opposite way, too, of like things that we do believe. Where did they first come from? And are they even correct?
That's a great point. Oh, I love that. Yeah, those picture books, man, they set you on some paths.
They really did. They really did. And I always remember that one ending with Leia, the line about, you know, Luke's kind of looking away into the forest, kind of bittersweet. And Leia leads him back into the warm circle of love from his friends. And I always remember that as kind of touching. In the end of the storybook, he doesn't even see the spirits. He's just staring off into the woods, kind of sad.
Oh, no.
It really has text of like, he wonders if he could have done more for his father or sooner.
No.
I'm reading this as a kid and then like, and everybody's all like, I like Return of the Jedi because it's the happy ending. It's the end of the fairy tale, right? And you're reading this book and like, I read this as a kid.
That's amazing. Wow. I want a documentary episode on that. How some wires crossed or a different version. That's a downbeat, man.
Right? Yeah. So yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll do that sometime. We'll do a Force Center reading of storybooks and see what came from those.
That's, oh my gosh, that's great. That's wonderful.
Anyway, thank you, Philip, very much for the question. Any other thoughts on this, Ken?
No, other than I need to track down the storybook. No.
Well, thank you, Philip. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Ross. And thank you, Daniel, for some great questions. That is it. We do not have a Power of the Light Side entry this week. If you're a patron on Patreon, that post is still up calling for entries. So if you have a positive moment of Star Wars, a positive memory, anything that empowers the light side of the Force Center Star Wars discussion, go ahead and add that to that post. Ken, where can people find us?
Hey, you can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Thanks to everyone who joined us last week for our live Q&A. More on the way. We love doing those monthly. And with your participation, who knows? It could be more. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Just search and find us. If you're on there and want to leave a review, we would love that. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you could support us directly, as Joseph mentioned, be a patron on Patreon by going to patreon.com/ForceCenter. You can follow me at Cadnapsock or go to my website, cadnapsock.com. If you are a Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power fan, getting ready to watch the show, we'll be covering it on my podcast, Casterly Talk. And of course, we're continuing to look into the deeper themes of House of the Dragon. Just find us there. Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for more adventures past and present. Some comedy albums, a book I wrote 10 years ago. Very time, painful.
Time has no meaning. You wrote that last week.
Time is cruel. Time is very, very cruel. Anyway, you can check that all out at my website, josephscrimshaw.com. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for Macy Williams as Darth Maul, this has been Force Center.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.